You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, everybody. This is, my name is Bert, and I'm the senior pastor of Every Nation Church. If you're new to our spiritual family, we're really glad that you're with us today. If you're new, we love having guests. We are doing a three-part series for Christmas called Good News, and each week we're going to look at one of the themes of Advent. And so last week was kind of a crossover from our last theme when we talked about hope, and now we're going to go through the other four Advent candles and speak on the theme of what those beautiful candles represent. And so today we're going to look at the good news of peace. A couple of years ago, we bought the home that we're in right now. When we moved back to Canada from the U.S., probably 8 years ago now, we spent the first 2 years in a condominium, a two-bedroom condominium. And then after that, we moved into a small house for 4 years. And then we had the opportunity to begin to look for a new house and when to purchase. And so we were negotiating, and if you've ever negotiated a house before, you know, there's the asking price, and then, you know, there's the counter offer, and you usually meet in the middle somewhere. Unless you're in one of those crazy times of the market like Toronto where, you know, you have to bid above asking price to even have a hope of getting it. So anyway, we weren't in that kind of market in our place. So as we were making these negotiations, we didn't go back and forth with our realtor very many times, but after a couple times, we, you know, named our price that we felt comfortable with, and it was within $10,000 of the amount that the owners had come down to, and our realtor was saying, oh, surely you'll, you know, offer that extra $10,000, but there was something in our hearts that just said, you know, that's how much we have to spend, and that's how much we really feel we should, and so we just felt a real peace about it. And interesting, our realtor was quite surprised. And so she said, okay, well, I'll talk to the owners through their real estate agent. And she mentioned that, you know, Bert and Sheila are really at peace, you know, whether they get the house or not. And when the owners heard that, all of a sudden, something went off in them that said, okay, we'll take their offer. Let's go ahead and sell the house. Now, I bring up that story because there's just something powerful about peace. We know that there's something there, but sometimes it's hard to define exactly what it is. And I think that there's a real need for peace. So I want to start out this morning by a level of peace self-survey for you. Okay, so I'm going to make this statement, and then I want you to rate yourself whether the statement that I'm about to say is very true, somewhat true, somewhat untrue, or very untrue, okay? So here is the peace survey for all you to take just between you and God. Okay, peace self-survey. I am confident about my future, content in my job and financial situation, have good relationships with family and friends that are free from conflict, sleep well at night, and I'm generally at ease and settled emotionally. So how would you rate yourself on those three? Is that very true, somewhat untrue, very untrue? I wish actually, I tried looking into doing a Facebook poll. I wish we could have done this live. Well, there's a slight delay. We're not really live. We're about 15 seconds off live, something like that, maybe 10, I don't know. But it would have been great as I speak to see the, you know, the survey results in real time here. Wasn't able to do that. And maybe another time, one of you people who have more technical know-how than I do can do that. We can do that in a future sermon. But the Bible actually speaks about peace a lot. Depending on the translation of the Bible, as many as 420 times, I think that the word peace is mentioned. I think that was in the King James Version, which none of us use anymore. But that's really a lot. I heard one pastor say that the theme of peace is around over 700 times in the Bible. And so it's a big subject. And there's actually very specific verses that have to do with Advent and the Christmas season. And I want to look at those. So when we think about the advent of Jesus, here's some verses that come to my mind. So here's the first one, and it's from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, when Isaiah is prophesying 700 years before Jesus. This is what he prophesied in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And then when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, for those who are familiar with the story, the angels announced an announcement of peace. And here's what it said in Luke 2. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. And then in Jesus's ministry here on earth, here's what he said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I want us to think of the four themes of Advent and the four candles that we light as gifts from God at this time of the year. As was mentioned in the service opening video by Sheila, it's going to be a different Christmas for all of us because of the pandemic. But I believe that it would be a good idea for us to really contemplate these four themes and think of them as gifts. What are these four themes? Well, my future daughter-in-law made some posters. You might have seen them on the sidewall. And I have an extra set of them here. And what are these wonderful gifts? Well, of course, last week it was the gift of hope. I wish we were going live or in a live service. I would just give them to you at the end of the service, but we're not able to do that. Of course, this week, the gift of peace. Next week, we're going to look at the gift of joy. And then we're going to wrap it up with the greatest of all is love. And we're going to have we're going to look at the gift of love. Now, I brought that up to think of this as actually gifts to us to soothe and to comfort our anxious and restless souls at this time, to whatever level that peace is not yours at this time. I believe that God wants to give us his peace. So I want to look specifically at three dimensions. Now, there's many, but there's three that I want to mention today of dimensions of how God, I believe, wants to give us this wonderful gift of peace. First of all, peace with your circumstances. It doesn't matter who you are. You can probably think about one area of your life where having peace is a challenge. Maybe it's your job or your financial situation. Maybe it's in your family. I know that Christmas is a wonderful family time, but there are a lot of people that it actually causes a lot of stress because there's conflict in the family, there's some unresolved things, and it makes it very difficult for gatherings. And so you might be in that situation, or maybe you have an ongoing health issue. Even though we have a lot of young people in our church, we still have people who maybe have to take medication. Maybe it's diabetes, or maybe it's for an autoimmune disease or some other chronic issue. And as you age and get older, you have a better chance of, needing to take some medication, needing some sort of physiotherapy in order to keep your body strong. And so there's things in our physical health. And then, of course, there's a challenge to our peace and our mental health. The days in Canada and the Northern Hemisphere get shorter and shorter, and it's much easier to feel down or to feel depressed, to feel anxious or have mood swings. And so no matter who you are, there's probably one area of your life that you can say, do you know what? Peace is sometimes a challenge for me. And so I believe that God doesn't always change our circumstances, but what he does is he offers his peace within those situations. Many times I've you know, ask God, God, why don't you just change my circumstance? I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. Why don't you just change the circumstance in my life? And many times he does, and many times he doesn't. But what he always does is he promises to give me my peace in the midst of circumstance. And that's the gift, really, that God wants to give us and is reminding of us at this time. Let's look again what Jesus said in John 14, 27. Go back to this scripture. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And he makes a contrast between the way that he offers peace and the ways of the world. You see, the ways of the world are saying, hey, if I don't change the external circumstance, then I cannot have any peace. Advertising and marketing is based really on this. It's making a promise to change your circumstances if you will just spend this money or do this thing. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't try in the natural to change our circumstances. Of course we should. But there's sometimes, no matter what we do, we can't change our circumstances at a snap of a finger or by buying a product. But what Jesus promises is an abiding peace, even in the midst of what one children's book says on our most terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. That's actually a kid's book that our kids, my wife read to our kids. And so it's a good book. But don't you sometimes have terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days like Alexander? I'm sure we all do. And what Jesus promises is not necessarily that you'll never have a day like Alexander's, but what he promises is my abiding peace with you. Jesus says how this happens. If the world promises some sort of change on the external situation, Jesus does it a different way. He says through the Holy Spirit, he can offer peace. That's how it comes. That's the contrast. So I want to look back at John 14 again, but I want to go back to verse 25. And this is what Jesus said. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that have I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I was talking to a young businessman this week that I bumped into, and he was quite successful in what he was doing, starting his business, and he was just in his early 30s, and he was telling me how, you know, if I can just get to the next level and get to the next level, you know, certain problems that he was talking about in his life would go away. And as I was listening to this, I actually interjected and I said, okay, let's just suppose that that does change. Will it really change what's going on? And I really made him think. See, a lot of people think that if they could just have some external change, then somehow their heart will be at peace. But there's not that guarantee. So Jesus offers peace within whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. The second area where I believe that God wants to offer the gift of peace is peace within ourselves. If you're a Christian and a follower of Jesus, you know that your identity, that your well-being, that your worth is found in who God declares you to be, that you're loved by God, that you're called by God, that you've been redeemed by God. But we don't always live out of what is true all the time. As I've been talking to people, even close to me, this is very challenging as the pressure of our routines being upset right now. These are the types of things that I'm hearing people say under this pressure. I feel like I'm letting myself down. I feel like I'm letting others down. And it can be very upsetting. Or I've heard someone say, I just can't perform at the level in my job that I'm used to performing at. I'm not killing it. I'm not doing it like I normally have. And I don't like myself. I don't feel good about myself because of these stresses. I know for me, I can feel that. I can sometimes feel that I'm not really living up to the standards that I would like to, or really being able to have the energy to be able to do all the things that I'd like to do at the level I'd like to do them. Yet at the same time, God wants to, in the midst of that, in the midst of maybe we're not performing exactly, the good news of Christmas is that we can have peace without performance. That we can have peace without performance. Maybe we're not doing so well and we're not achieving like we should. Or maybe things aren't going our way. We're not getting the breakthrough that we need in the job. We're just waiting and sitting. Or maybe some things that you've been working on in your soul and your inner life. But the good news is that we can have peace without performance. Let's look at the scripture in more detail from Luke 2. Starting back in verse 10 this time, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those who he's pleased." The question is, how can God be pleased with man? How can he be pleased with us who have walked away from him, who have many times done our own thing? We haven't followed him. How can he declare that he is pleased with man? Well, this scripture says that a Savior has been born. It's not about what we have done. It's about what he has done. That is what makes it possible for God to declare to you and to me that we're okay, that we're accepted, that we are loved. When I was a new Christian, still a student out in Vancouver, one of the first worship songs, worship choruses really, that I learned, and I used to listen to this. Our pastor was a musician and a songwriter. He didn't write this song, but he would make tapes of his music. Yes, cassette tapes back in those days, headphones, Walkmans, for those of you who go back that far. And I would listen to these, and it would be so soothing to my soul. And this is one of the songs that was always just ministered to my anxious and unpeaceful heart. And so I'd listen to this song over and over, and it's called "I Am Covered Over with the Robe of Righteousness." Maybe some of you might have heard this song, and here's the lyrics. "I am covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and he lives in me. What a joy it is to know my Heavenly Father loves me so and gave to me my Jesus. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. And so we can have also peace within ourselves. It's a wonderful gift of Christmas. And this leads us to the last point, and that is that we can have peace with God. What's really the difference between a Christian who's a true follower of Jesus and one who is not? The answer is actually very simple and very profound at the same time. It's basically who's at the center of their life, calling the shots, as it were. Have you ever heard the comment, someone made their peace with God? Maybe there's someone who wasn't following Christ, maybe lived a life far from God, but maybe they're on their deathbed in the hospital. I know of a relative of a relative long time ago who just didn't want to have anything to do with Christianity. He was quite angry, and he was, had a terminal disease, was in our local hospital on Vancouver Island. And I know that his son wanted the pastor to come and visit him, and he would not allow the pastor to come. He would just, basically yell at him and tell him to go away. But the pastor was persistent because of the son, and he went back, and finally his heart softened and he made his peace with God before he died. And so I was thinking about this peace with God and what really is a peace with God. So here's the explanation that as I understand it, this is what I put down. A person who has made their peace with God is someone who has come to the point where they've comprehended the fallacy of trying to lead their lives with themselves at the center and have yielded that place to Jesus. There's a war going on in everybody's heart when the gospel is preached. God, by the Holy Spirit, calls us, everyone, men, women, boys, and girls, to yield the center of their heart over to Him. It's an internal war. For me, I was raised with this knowledge. My parents took me to church, but there was something inside of me that didn't want to follow Him. There was other dreams and aspirations that I had, and I didn't know if God would really want, would be okay with the direction that I wanted to go. The things that I was studying at university, the ambitions, the goals, the dreams I had, I wanted to do. I wouldn't mind having a bit of religion and having Jesus help me out on my plans, but heck, if I was going to yield my life and the center of my, the throne of my heart, as some gospel tracts say, over to Jesus. I didn't understand that when God takes control of our lives, He actually blesses us and we have the best life we could ever have and have eternal life with Him. And really, it comes down to a matter of trust. I really didn't know that God had my best interests in mind. And how I yielded that trust over to the Lord was when I was a student out in Vancouver. One of the founders of Every Nation was preaching on the campuses, and there was these nightly meetings. And so I was curious, and so I went out to a couple of them. And he was boldly proclaiming the gospel, and I can remember the exact verse that just struck me, and it was James 4:4. And he was preaching from the New American Standard Bible, and that was the Bible that I was issued after I gave my life to the Lord. So I've kind of memorized it in that version. But here's the verse that I say got me saved. "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now, for different personalities, God uses different tactics. For me, being more of a direct personality and maybe a bit of a strong-willed person, true confessions, the Holy Spirit used this strong word to break through to my heart. Now, not everybody get saved on verses like that. Sometimes it's, you know, the peace and love of God, and that what breaks through into some people's hearts. But maybe, you know, I'm just a little bit, I don't know, crusty, hard, direct. I don't know. But anyway, God knew what I needed to break through. And He needed to say to me that, "Bert, you are my enemy." And I'm like, I didn't like that. And it awoke my conscience and it awoke my heart to know that, wow, God means business with me, and He wants me to yield to Him fully. And I did, and I'm so glad that I did. I knew what I had to do. I had to take that step to relinquish control of my life and trust Him to guide me into my true calling. So my concluding thought is this: you'll never find lasting peace without inviting Jesus, the Prince of Peace, into your life, into your heart, to follow Him, to let His Holy Spirit cause you to be remade on the inside, to know that it's church is not just something you go to or attend. It's just not a set of principles, but it's an encounter with a very living God where you're invaded with His love, you're forgiven of your sins, and you have a new leader in your life directing you, showing you the way to go, understanding the purpose for your life progressively. It's one of the reasons why we encourage our church to pray and read the Bible. It's not for brownie points with God. It's so that you can connect with that direction in your life, so that you can connect with what God is saying. And He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to give you His peace. It's so good. If you haven't made that decision, or maybe you say, you know, I've been a little religious in the negative sense of way. I'm sort of going through the motions of being a Christian, and you need your heart to be reconnected to God where you can say, wow, you know, he's really the center of my life as best I can. No one does this perfectly. No one. But your heart attitude is, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior, but I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be the one who's directing and controlling my life. And if you really want peace, you're going to have to ask the Prince of Peace into your life. There's no other way. And wouldn't it be great to do this Christmas, during this pandemic, Christmas 2020, make your peace with God. One final scripture as I conclude, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these beautiful Christmas presents that you give us, not just once, but continually. We thank you, God, for the peace that can come even when our circumstances are not favorable. A lot of us have unfavorable circumstances right now. We've prayed and we've asked you to change our circumstances, and it hasn't worked out that way. I pray that you would bring your supernatural peace in the midst of difficult circumstances. For those of us who are struggling, Lord, with just within ourselves, of our own failures, our own anxieties and fears and things, God, I pray that you would invade us with your peace. We accept your peace. And God, we also make our peace with you. We don't want you to be our enemy. We want you to be our friend. And that's what you're offering, forgiveness and true peace. We pray all of these things for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we're going to transition into a time of taking the Lord's Supper together.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.